Welcome to Poke the Bear Podcast. We are here to expose the lies that this culture uses to manipulate this generation. Interested? Have a listen.
All right, this is day 7 of the Go for the Gold program.
Yes.
My name is Danny Brooks.
And I'm Daryl Rice.
And we're just going to be walking you guys through a short podcast here, talking about some different fun topics. Leading step 6 engagement.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll read that real quick and then we can talk about it. So engagement, step 6 in our book. I know a lot of you listeners might not have the book, but we go through dating steps. And engagement says couples prepare for a lifelong committed bonded relationship.
Yes. That's that good stuff right there.
So I always talk to kids in class when we teach about this, about premarital counseling, because we talk about stuff you should talk to with your spouse about before you get married. So, Daryl, did you do premarital counseling?
Definitely did. We did it twice. We did one through Marriage Works. My wife, she liked the structure that Marriage Works had, and we also did it with the man that married us. I figure, like, if he's going to be walking down the aisle with me, he's going to be, you know, marrying us off. He's going to need to at least, you know, counsel us. And we had a great relationship with him anyway.
Nice. So you did two sessions with him?
No. We did the marriage work session. I think that was 10 weeks or something like that. And then we did another 10 weeks with a guy that
married us. Oh, dang. Was that like an hour per week or something? Or
It was something like that. Yeah, you know, you can give or take.
Nice.
You know, on a good day.
Man, you guys went.
Some people are a little long winded than others, but
you know. You guys went full on. He did 4 1-hour sessions. We did a lot of time outside of that talking about stuff. So
yeah,
we had some take home questions. So we would talk for hours sometimes about each session, but it was only 4 hours total that we sat down with him. But it was really helpful.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, it says some of the things you should talk about in our curriculum before you get married are things like, you know, how are you going to deal with the in-laws? Is there any conflict, unresolved conflict there? How many children do you want to have? Past mm-hmm. relationships, conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
He even had us break down the chores around the house and which person likes which chores.
Yeah.
Did you guys do that too?
Yeah, well, you know, we did, but, you know, that changed after, you know, we moved in. So,
yeah,
you got to have that communication with your spouse, man. It was like before you get married, I feel like you definitely have to talk about everything. Talk about credit scores and plans and goals and things of that nature. You have to discuss those things. Those are important. They're imperative. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure. What is your least favorite chore to do?
My least favorite chore, and this is because I have nightmares. I don't mind cleaning. I just hate cleaning the bathroom.
Dude, that's mine too.
Oh my goodness, man. My dad used to have us like, oh, it was like the military. He wasn't military like that. He was, you know, but he made us clean the bathroom like hands and knees scrubbing. And I'm like, dude, I can't stand cleaning like behind the toilet. Like it's crazy.
Yep.
Stuff that I can't even reach. That's yours too.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. So the real question is how often do you actually do that or does your wife do it now?
No, I do it. Well, we both do it, but you know, at least once or twice a week. I can't front.
Yeah. Yeah. I she knows I hate it and she doesn't like doing putting away laundry actually. So I try to do more of that.
Ooh.
So that she.
Hey, man, You should come over and see my family room right now. She don't mind throwing the laundry in the washer and dryer, but when it comes to folding, you should come in here right now. This while we're quarantined, you should see how many clothes I got to fold. Like it's ridiculous.
That's exactly what she's like. She doesn't mind doing it, but she just doesn't like folding it and putting it away. So I try to do more of that so that she'll clean the bathrooms a little more. So this is the stuff you got to talk about. And then with talking about all this stuff, there's actually one thing that causes the most conflict among couples. So what do you think? Well, I guess we both know the real answer, but what do you think is the thing that causes you guys the most conflict?
Could be finances.
Finances?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the correct answer. So that's the one that most couples fight over. For us, it's been finances a little bit, but it's mainly like a miscommunication kind of thing. Like it can really be over anything. But yeah, finances is the number one thing couples fight over. So talk a little bit more about finances and how to better manage those and not let them control you. So
Definitely.
when it comes to finances, we're going to talk about budgeting. So what's your best definition of a budget?
Well, pretty much is to know what you got coming in and know what you can spend out of that and what you need to save. You know what I mean? That's pretty much how I have been grown to kind of, because I really wasn't taught on budgeting growing up. I kind of had to be self-taught on it. That's why I was making a lot of financial mistakes. But you know, my wife was brought up on being taught how to budget and, you know, credit cards and things of that nature.
Right.
So that helped me a lot.
That's cool. I like to get, we got to make these podcasts fun. So I like to just ask just go straight for the throat and ask the personal question. What's your biggest financial mistake you've ever made? You don't have to answer that if you don't want to, but I just,
I'm not that bad with money, but I don't know. Like, I mean, probably just some gym, like too many pairs of gym shoes at one time. I don't know,
Okay.
man.
I was going to say, what's your biggest impulse buy? For me, it's probably like video games or something like that. Like, I probably spent way too much money on my hobbies.
I guess we both guilty of that one. For sure. That's definitely something.
Honestly, I didn't have a budget. I had a rough idea of how much money was coming in, where I needed to pay bills to, and all that stuff before I got married. But then I didn't actually sit down, despite teaching this program for 6 years. I didn't sit down and make an actual budget and write it all out until I got married, but it actually helped a ton because it wasn't just, if I was by myself, I feel like I could just like pay attention to how much fast food I was spending money on or whatever, and I could just cut back when I needed to. But with two people, just too much communication almost sometimes. Like we actually were made a budget for like how much money we can give to help people and how much we can spend on fast food. And drew those lines, which seems restrictive, and some people might think that's doing too much, but for me, it actually helped free me up because it's like I know I have this much money I can spend on whatever.
Definitely.
I don't
I
know.
need that.
How do you feel about a budget? Does it help or hinder you in any way?
Nah, man, definitely helps, man. It's a self-control type thing as well. You know, with a budget, you feel like you have a cap, and sometimes you need a cap for it. Take for instance what's happening right now. You know what I mean? You need a cap for what you can and can't spend, or what you should and shouldn't spend, I should say. So budgeting is definitely beneficial if you allow yourself to stick to your budget and practice self-control over that budget. You know what I mean?
That's true. For me personally too, this has happened, but has there ever been a time for you that a budget has helped you from not giving money away like to someone or spending it on something kind of useless just because of the pressure of like someone else?
As funny as that is, it absolutely has. I mean, just be honest with you about the situation. Sometimes you have to set a personal budget. If me and my wife, we have a couple joint accounts, and we have a couple separate accounts, right? So I know what the budget is going to be when I put the money in our joint accounts. Okay, I know what that budget is, but I had to set a personal budget because. For myself, because it's not the fact that I want to save money. I just don't want to go over a certain cap or have under a certain cap of money in my account. So definitely have to have that budget when people try to, people like to swindle. You know what I mean? There are some people out there that they take your kindness for weakness. You know, you got a good heart. They feel like, ask girl, ask Danny, he'll do it. You know what I'm saying? Those types of people. And
Right,
it's
right.
just like simple, plain and simple. Yo, no, I don't have it. You may have it, but at that time, you don't have it. If you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You may have it in your account, but you just don't have it to give because you just don't want to go over your budget.
Yeah, it actually helped me. So when I was single and not budgeting, I wanted to give of my money and like, I wanted to help people. So I didn't want to hold on to my money with clenched fists and I wanted to be able to do that, but I didn't set a limit on how much. So there were a few instances where I wish I would have had a budget because now if someone asks me for money, I don't have to feel guilty about saying no, even if it's for a really good cause. Like those charities always ask you, and it's like, nope, I already gave all my money away to charity this month. Like not all my money, but like my money set aside specifically for that. So there's a situation where this kid that I was mentoring, he kept asking me for money for meals. Like we would go out to hang out with the other guys and he would want, you know, to get food with us, and he never had any cash. So I always felt bad for him and helped him out, because you don't want to let someone go hungry. For me, it was like a guilt thing. It's like, man, I can't have this kid hanging out with us at Wendy's and not be, you know, he just sits here and watches us eat every week. But I also, there were a few times where he would show me like a brand new watch he had just bought. And he's like, look, check out this watch I just got for like 80, 100 bucks. And I'm like, dude, you just asked me to buy you Wendy's 5 minutes ago.
And
I'm not buying stuff for myself, like expensive watches. And here I am paying for your food. Like, why should you get to benefit from food and a watch? And I'm just losing my money because you want to buy a watch. So,
exactly.
So to me, a budget has helped me say no to people, even if the good reason they're asking for money. And it helps you say no to yourself. It's like a diet. Like, it helps you if you're supposed to say no to certain types of food, it just helps you say no to spending money on certain types of things. So,
It helps, man. I strongly recommend people set a good budget for their personal expenses. They got a splurging fund. Set a budget on how much you're going to spend if you want to splurge on yourself. Like, for me, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Have a rainy day fund, that type of deal.
Yeah, a huge influence on me has been with budgeting stuff has been Dave Ramsey, which he's a pretty big.
Oh, that's my guy, man. The total money maker.
Oh yeah,
that's my guy.
Yep, he's really influenced me with trying to pay off student loans. I paid off my student loans that I accrued myself within like 5 years of graduating college, but then got married. Nice. And my wife had some of her own, so we're kind of restarting that process over. But he talks about, you know, budgeting, and he talks about having that emergency fund, and like, he talks about, you know, budget yourself fun money, like give yourself every month like a certain amount of money you can just go and literally blow it on whatever you want, because it helps you stick to the plan. So,
yep,
I like that.
Yeah. We've been doing that debt snowball for a few years now, and it helps.
Yep. Which, the debt snowball, for those of you listening, if you don't know what that is, that's just basically you save up $1,000 first. So you have a very minimum rainy day fund, and then you just kind of pay as hardcore as you can on all your debt, pay extra until it's gone. Yep. So that you're not losing, you know, a quarter of your paycheck, half your paycheck to paying off student loans and credit card debt. So,
yeah,
we typically play a finance game in class when we teach about the seven. And one of the things I always say, we give kids, just for some perspective, for the listeners, we give kids $2,230, and they have to fake money. Of course, we don't give them real money in class.
Okay, I want to play that game.
Yeah, I wish I had. I always tell them if I had that much actual money on me, I'd probably would have taken the day off. Like, I'd have a few
things exactly
to go do. But $2,230 is how much if you have a married couple that's making minimum wage, working 40 hours a week. That's kind of what they're left with, which sounds like a lot up front. When kids get it, sometimes I see them take pictures of it, post it on their Instagram, like, you know, just having fun
like
with
they
it.
Would, like they would if they had normal money.
Yeah. So yeah, that money seems like a lot to them up front, but then you figure you got to pay rent, which like you can't find an apartment for less than, I feel like $600-$700 is on the very low end. So that money goes very quick. And I always tell them there's two ways you can have more money. You can make more. So if you go to like a trade school, you go to college, you just work your way up the chain, you're a good worker, you get promoted, or you could spend less. So, which is the point of budgeting. If you spend less, you're going to have more money left over. But if you're making more than minimum wage, you're also going to have more money. So, and then have you ever heard of the success sequencing?
Success sequencing?
Yep. It's hard to say.
Clearly I have it. I can't even say it.
So there's a success sequence that has been proven to help people stay out of poverty. It actually gives you a 97% chance of avoiding poverty, which is pretty crazy.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
So there's three things you can do basically to help yourself not go into poverty. So step one is get a high school degree. Pretty simple.
Okay.
Don't drop out of high school. Step two is work full time.
Gotcha.
And then step three is marry before you have children. And if you follow those three steps, you have a 97% chance to avoid poverty, which I think is crazy.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And it's not even.
I got a 97% chance. That's what's up.
Yeah. It's not even going to college. I mean, college can definitely help you make more money, trade school, but literally it's just high school, full-time job, and don't start having kids until you're married in a financially stable position to do that. And there's another, so it says 95% of millennials who married first are not poor compared to 72% who had children first. So basically 95% of millennials ended up out of poverty if they got married before they had kids. But then compared to those who had kids before they got married, 72% of them ended up out of poverty. So that's the difference in success just following one of those steps. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, man. That's very informative.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's always the, you know, the downside of it. You could look at it, you know, negatively and be like, oh man, if I mess up these things, like I'm going to potentially end up in poverty. But the flip side of it is if you follow a few simple rules, there's like a reward. And I feel like that's a lot of things in life. You know, you put yourself to the discipline of making good choices and you have a better chance of being successful. So
definitely. That's the joyous part of it.
So Daryl, you have your, well, your wife has her own business and you are a part of that. So what's your tips for like just managing your money in general?
Well, first off, managing your money is going to take you to really be open-minded about business. People think because you own a business that's doing pretty good that you're making a lot of money. But what people don't understand is when you have a business that's doing very well, you start to get really busy. It seems like you're making a lot of money, but you have to look at it like this. If it seems like you're making a lot of money because you're so busy, you're shoveling out more money as well. So I would highly recommend that you get a business mentor and a financial advisor. Business mentor, financial advisor. Being a business owner is an awesome thing, but it's also it's a lot of work. You know what I mean? No one sees the days of you got mounds and mounds of bills and invoices sitting at your desk in your office. All they see is, you know, you post some pictures on Facebook and videos. You got these huge venues. And you got a great looking event going on. That's all they see. They don't see what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
You know what I mean? I would definitely recommend getting a business manager as well as a financial advisor.
And I know this just from working with you, but for our listeners, what kind of business do you guys run?
Oh, we own a catering company. It's been around for 15 years. I've been a part of it for the last 7 or 8. So, but my wife's company, she started it 15 years ago. And, you know, it's rocking, man. She runs it full time now. She's doing amazing with it. But like I said, you still got to have your ducks in order, have your business acumen down pat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I've never run a business. So all I know about finances is just kind of managing my personal finances, which honestly can be hard enough, but I can't imagine the extra stress of like running that business and paying all those bills. And
yeah. And you still got to pay people too. So
yeah.
Got to pay the workers first. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. You get paid that. You're the one that get paid last. Everybody else comes first and you get paid last.
Right. Yeah, I think just like you said, having those mentors, that wisdom, someone older than you that can kind of help guide you and make those wise financial decisions, that's invaluable, honestly, in any part of life. I think having someone to talk to and give you advice, we can't do a lot of things on our own. You know, you can learn things on your own through YouTube and just other things like that. So obviously there's always the chance to be, I mean, I think it's funny, like there's this little kid at this place I used to work, he was about 5 and he kept telling everyone he was self-taught and he would go around saying that all the time. And I'm like, I don't think anyone can truly be self-taught because even if you're looking up YouTube videos for stuff, you're learning stuff from people who made those videos. Like there's always
definitely
like,
definitely. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. You can learn a lot on your own, like reading books and everything else. But it's like, I think what you're saying about these mentors, it's like, even if your mentor is just Dave Ramsey's book, like Dave Ramsey is now your mentor, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I looked at him. That's exactly how I looked at him.
Yeah. He's been my mentor. I've never met the man, but he's been my mentor with finances for years now. So
listen, read his books, listen to his podcasts, all types of stuff. You know what I mean? I've been on a couple of webinars with him. So yeah, definitely one of my mentors.
Yep, for sure. Let's see. What else can we ask you about your business ventures? I feel like that's such an interesting thing. I mean, you run a business, like that's pretty rare. I don't know a lot of business owners, honestly. So
it's definitely a few and far between, but it's a lot of us out there.
Yeah.
A whole lot of us out there. A lot of people are, you know, pretty quiet about it because a lot of them don't think they're business owners because they still work a full-time job. But it's like, no, you're still a business owner because when you leave this full-time job, you have to go run your business. You know what I mean? So you're definitely a business owner. You're just not a full-time business owner. You're just not running your business full-time yet. You know what I mean?
I have a question here. So what advice would you give, let's say, a young listener that's maybe a high school student that's thinking about maybe college isn't for them, or maybe that they're not sure what they want to do. They're not super into school, but maybe they want to run their own business. They've got some like entrepreneur type, you know, dreams in their life? Like, what should they know before they get into that? What should they look for? What's the best steps they can take to getting themselves in a position to maybe work for themselves or run their own business and kind of be their own boss?
Okay. First off, research. Get all the research you can. Check demographics, checks like whatever business that you want to run, check in your area, see how many businesses that there is in your area. Because this, I mean, believe it or not, being a business owner is a competitive sport. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you definitely have to do all the research you can. Do all the research you can. And I'm not going to strongly say quit your job and start doing it. That's not what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So if you have a job, work it. If you get to that point where you're able to walk off from your current job and run your business, there's going to be some long sleepless nights. There's going to be some days you want to give up. There's going to be some days where you just think it's just not going to work. But this is your passion. This is your baby. This is what you love to do. Focus on it. Push it. Just go hard with it. You know what I mean? And do all
So,
the research you can to improve in every area of your business.
you're kind of saying like start it as a side hustle almost until it becomes your main hustle.
Pretty much, pretty much,
I like that.
pretty much, yeah. Because I mean, you got to be wise. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just gonna stop and just run my business full time. Nobody knows about your business, sir. Nobody knows about your business, ma'am. Like, you really have to build rapport. Your business has to get to the point where it's requested.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yep, research, it's competitive. You can't start a, you know, you can't go out and start a catering business if you live in an area where there's like an overabundance of catering businesses and you're going to have too
Oh,
much competition.
who you telling?
I'm just saying, you said research it, know the demographics, you know, that
You
kind of
got
stuff I
to.
feel like
Yeah,
is
I
real
mean,
important. So
and even in the catering arena, and since you brought up, even in the catering arena, you have to be able to have something that's gonna be different than everybody else.
yep.
What type of food do you serve? Fried chicken, blah blah blah. Well, this person over here sells it, the same thing. Like, what's gonna make your product better? You
Yeah.
know what I mean? What's going to make you stand out? What's your niche?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And like, I mean, if you just have the same thing everyone else has, if someone else is selling it for 50 cents cheaper, then you're going to have to compete with that price. And that brings me to kind of my final thought to close out. With finances especially, something I picked up from I took a course with my wife on Dave Ramsey, and he says if you want to be normal, you can be, but normal is broke. Like normal, it's almost average to be broke and to waste money and to not have a budget. So if you want to be weird and you want to be different and you want to try something new, that is how a lot of people become millionaires. Like the amount of millionaires who have never bought a new car amazes me. But like these people are thrifty. They're buying, you know, 3-year-old cars after the value drops. They're like, the amount of millionaires who have never taken out credit card loan is kind of shocking.
Bill Gates drives a Honda Accord.
That's the stuff I'm talking about. So
You
he
know what I'm
talks about
saying?
like if you want to show off and like, you know, you get your first job at McDonald's and you go immediately get a car payment for like a Hummer and you
He said like a Hummer.
obviously that's an exaggeration, but if you want to show out and you want to look the best on your block when you're
Yeah.
actually just you're putting on a front and you don't actually have that kind of money,
Right.
that's how people stay poor.
Oh man.
So
And that's the mentality, man. Goodness gracious. You're absolutely right, man.
if you've got something to prove, you're never going to actually have anything to show.
Not at
So
all. Not at all.
My final thought is, I mean, we're doing this budgeting thing pretty hardcore, and it's like, honestly, we're doing what we call live and blow our means. So if you don't know what that is as a listener, that just means
Absolutely.
making more than what you're spending, like living as if you don't make that much, so you can put that extra money towards something good.
That's
So,
important.
and
Definitely important.
sometimes it's weird to tell your friends like, ah, I don't have enough money in the budget to eat out this month. Like we already used up all of our fast food money. And they know you've got actual money somewhere, but you just
Right.
don't want to spend it on fast food. It's weird, but that's how you become successful, is doing stuff that's not normal. So,
Absolutely.
do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap this podcast up?
Oh man, nah man, just listeners, please take everything into consideration what we spoke about today. Go for it, man. Go for the goal. Go for the goal, and don't be afraid to poke the bear. Don't be afraid to poke the bear, like literally. go for what you love. Do what you love. You know what I'm saying? You want to be a business owner? Pursue that. Research that. But be wise about your decision making, especially as it pertains to your finances.
I like it. All right. Well, this has been Danny and Daryl on Go for the Gold, Day 7.
Absolutely.
Peace out.
Holla.
Thanks for joining us on Poke the Bear Podcast. Join us for more at our website, go4thegold.org.